Blog Talk Radio.
Nope. Nope.
Come on, him.
Ooh, I like him.
Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up messes quicker, and each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less.
He's an 8.
He's a 9.
Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Thy faithfulness, Lord, we
All right. Welcome to another broadcasting show, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is the Beverly Nation show. Listen, this is The Work Is Done. I am Pastor Kev, and tonight I want you guys to get ready. Grab your phones. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. Call in tonight's broadcast, because we have a very exciting show tonight. We're talking about God doesn't have favorites. last month on our last broadcast, Sister Bessie, the truther, she brought up a good topic that I promised her that we were going to discuss, and it has to do with women in ministry and to what capacity women are allowed to participate in ministry. Now, this is probably going to rub some people the wrong way, but you guys know me by now. I give it to you straight. I give it to you raw. I give you the truth, according to John chapter 9, verse 32, where Jesus says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not, it doesn't say set you free. It says the truth shall make you free. Now, you know, the truth that we're going to talk about tonight is based on Acts chapter 10, verse 34. You know, Peter is having this conversation, and he says in this conversation, he says, you know, he knows that God is not a respecter of persons. In other words, God doesn't choose favorites. He doesn't show partiality. So if he's a God who doesn't show partiality, if through the Bible they're talking about there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, the slave and the free, we serve a God who doesn't show partiality, which means he can choose who he wants to raise up and in what capacity he wants to raise them up in. So, you know, you have a lot of ministries who are still traditional. And what I mean by that, what I mean by traditional, they still hold to the mindset that women can hold any office in the church with the exception of pastor. They believe that women can be evangelists. They can do any of the other offices in the church, but pastor, being the leader of a congregation, they say that that's strictly a man's job. So tonight, you know, we're going to be talking about that. Now, you may be one of the people that's listening tonight, and you hold to that truth, or you hold to that belief, I should say. I want you to call in tonight. On this program, we honor and we respect all opinions. I'll say that again. On this broadcast, I honor all opinions. We're not going to argue about the word. You are entitled to believe what you want to believe, just like I am entitled to give you the truth of God's word. So with that said, let's talk about that tonight. Let's talk about women. Can women be pastors? Should women be allowed to be pastors? Let's talk about that tonight. So call in. I know you have an opinion. I know you have some thoughts on this. So don't hesitate tonight to call in and share what you believe. All right, so now let's look at what the Bible says, where this thought process comes from. It comes from 2 Timothy. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he says, you know, Paul basically gives his opinion. He says, he didn't say God. He said, I suffer a woman not to teach, not to have authority over the man in the church. This was Paul's thought. He didn't say this is what God ordained. This is not what God mandated. He said this is what I, Paul, say. And, you know, and that's why I tell people it's very important when reading the Bible, the three things that you need to know. You need to know who's talking, who are they talking to, and what is the context of the conversation. Just like, you know, a lot of men misinterpreted the Bible as far as, you know, being the king of their castle. You know, when you read about King Ahasuerus, and when he wanted to call his wife Queen Vashti, he summoned her, and she didn't come at, when he wanted her to come because they were having a party. He asked his friends, what should we do to the queen because she failed to come? And one guy stood up and said, you know, she should not be allowed to come before the king anymore, and the king should write a decree saying that man should rule his house. That's basically where it came from. This is in the Bible. This is in the Bible. So if you take the wrong meaning or you misinterpret it, then you can create your own doctrine. You can create your own thought process as to how you think or what you think it means, and then you will go on and live your life based on wrong information. All right? So, again, so Paul is writing his letter to Timothy, and he says, I, Paul, suffer not a woman to teach. But when you read what he wrote in the book of Ephesians, because Paul wrote 3/3 of the New Testament, if you read what he wrote in the book of Ephesians, now, you know, when he's talking about God, what God has set up in the church, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, and he has set up in the church some to be pastors, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and, you know, some to be teachers. This is what God has ordained for the church. This is not Paul's personal thought. It's not his opinion. This is what God has set up for the church. And he says he has given some. He didn't say he gave man. He didn't say this was exclusive to man, but he gave some. So who are the some? If you read Acts 10:34, and Peter says, you know, for a certain God doesn't show partiality, because if it was only meant for men, that would mean God would show partiality. He would show favoritism. That's not the kind of God we serve. So if he's not showing partiality, if he's not a respecter of persons, then that means he can open the door for whoever he chooses to open the door. He can appoint whomever he chooses to appoint. Now, you know, we had this conversation some time ago, but it's always good to you know, go around and have these discussions again, because sometimes it takes more than one conversation to really turn that light bulb on, to get people to understand what the Word of God is saying. So, you know, one of the things I also like to do in having this conversation is take people back to the beginning, God's original intent, God's original purpose. And we see that in the book of Genesis chapter 1, where, you know, God has just finished creating the heavens and the earth and everything that's on it, the animals, the trees, the flowers, the mountains, the oceans. He's finished creating all of this. And then it gets to a point where he says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, he says, now let us create man in our own image. And then it says, in his own image, he created them, male and female. And then he blessed them and told them to go forth and be fruitful and multiply, have authority and dominion. So who is the them that he's talking about? Is he just talking about men? Well, of course not, because it says he created them male and female. And after it says he created them male and female, it says he blessed them, the male and the female, and told them the male and the female to go and be fruitful and multiply, because two men can't multiply, two women can't multiply. So it had to be the male and the female that he gave this instruction, and he gave this authority, and he gave this power to rule and reign and have dominion, to have authority, duality. This was the instruction to both. But people still tend to live and operate under the curse that took place in Genesis chapter 3 because the woman ate the fruit. So if we are, as ministerial leaders, trying to reconcile people back to Christ, if that is our intent, if that is our purpose, why are we trying to reconcile them while still being under the curse? Because it was under the curse that the woman was made subjective to the man. That's under the curse. You don't believe me? All you got to do is read the Bible. It is under the curse where woman had to be second fiddle to the man. But was that God's original intent? Is that his original purpose? No, because all we have to do is go back to the beginning. And as a pastor, it is my job, it is my duty to get people to recognize God's original intent and purpose for their lives. Amen. Hey, listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Get your phones. I know some of you are just itching to call in. 516-453-9133. Call in till the work is done, and we'll be right back.
Joints like these don't even need intros.
It's the way I came up all through the week. Every night was a church night. If you want to come around, pack your bag, because we must go there. Ooh. And it ain't no shame. It's part of my game. Believe it in his name. So if you come from the mall and you want me to meet ya, I gotta listen to the preacher verse.
Tuesday night, is rehearsal,
so
Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday.
And all night,
I'm meeting with the band, Friday, then dress.
On Sunday, here we go.
If you wanna go hang, you might be delayed.
Yeah. I truly know that I'm blessed and I'll take it for granted. I'm gonna praise him every chance that I get to.
Tuesday night is rehearsal, Wednesday, Bible study, Thursday.
And
I'm meeting with the band, oh. Friday, then just Sunday.
And I get to go down.
Telling me you had a short time to get my hind parts down the stairs so we could share in the car, which was parked in the driveway, headed for the highway, aimed at the steeple where the people made an unbelievable sound. The keyboards under the sweet organ where the deacons and greeters was meeting the seekers at the door with arms open wide saying, give me some more.
You
I'm
sorry, but I believe.
make me dance, or make me clap my hands.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Somebody has to make me pray, or make me give them praise.
This is The Work Is Done. I am Pastor Kev. We are broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria. This is a product of Beverly Nation, and we are going to our phone lines. We have a call on the line. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
How you doing? My name is Ricardo Richard. I'm actually from Trenton, New Jersey, and I'm also a host on the OME Network. It's just nice listening to what you're saying. It was so interesting, and I'm a believer as well. So I feel like God is so intentional because, you know, like maybe a couple of hours ago before I woke up, I was praying and I was asking God about the whole woman pastor and thing. I go to a church where there's a woman pastor, and prior to that, like maybe in my early 20s, it was one of the reasons why I had stopped going to church, because I recognized, like, when I was really, really younger, like, I was just trying to, you know, get it right and build my relationship with God. But then everywhere I look, I started getting a lot of different opinions, like, oh, you know, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name and not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I got baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're like, no, you really got to be saved. You know, you got to have it this way, or you got to speak in tongues and you're not really saved, or, oh, you got a woman pastor, then you're not supposed to. So I think I had just got so confused with, I thought you're just supposed to be, you know, live for Christ, and, you know, you just ask God to walk with you, and, you know, and of course a host of other things. So I had got so frustrated and so confused with religion, I had decided to walk away, which I felt like it was like one of the worst decisions at that time of my life. But I just got so, so confused with religion. And I'm like, God, I didn't feel like he was talking to me. I mean, he could have been talking to me, and I just was over it. And I remember just going to the world, which was a bad decision. But now, you know, that I decided to go back to that church, I mean, you know, the pastor talked about it, but I'm always, sometimes, Larry, I pray to God about these things because it's a lot, you know. So I was praying and I was asking God, like, you know, God, like, I want to get to the point in my walk where I just focus on Christ and it just be about me and him and whatever it is that he want me to do with his life. But I would be lying to say, you know, I don't hear these different things about salvation, and I know we can't earn it and grace and all these different things, but sometimes it can be a lot when you're trying to walk with God and you hear so many people who are supposed to be of God and we're all supposed to be believers, you know, say so many things, you know. So, it was kind of breathtaking, like, to hear you say some of the stuff that you were saying about the beginning and God's original intent, you know, between men and women. And I think for me, I'm just always on a search for the truth and what the truth is. So I'm hearing what you're saying now, and then maybe a week and now I'll hear somebody say, oh, women shouldn't be, or you should do this and you should do that. And I go back to sometimes being confused, you know, like, God, wait, when I heard, you know, the pastor talking on the radio, is this what you're telling me? You know, and then when I hear something contradicting that, I'm like, God, like, I need you to be clear, you know. So just trying to understand and discern his voice too can be difficult as well. But, you know, hearing what you said and hearing a male pastor say that is liberating, and it kind of gives me a lot of hope, like, okay, God, like, you know. So it was just good for you know to be talking about this right now at this point, God.
Hey, listen, you know, you touched on a few things, and I'll touch on them very briefly. First, yes, there are two baptisms for a believer. There's baptism by water, which is for the remission of sins. Then there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Okay, then what I'm about to say. Neither baptism is required for admission to heaven. Neither one is required. When you read Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, in order to be saved, salvation, it says, if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him up from the dead, he shall be saved. Didn't say you had to be baptized. Didn't say you had to be baptized in water. Didn't say you had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Second example, the thief on the cross. He asked Jesus, he said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this night you'll be with me in paradise. This thief on the cross didn't get baptized by water, didn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't go out and hand out tracts, didn't go out and serve in the ministry, didn't do anything. But Jesus looked at his heart, and because of that, he was granted salvation. Now, we still should be baptized by water because it signifies the life, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. We should be. We also should be baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. That's where your power comes from. So that's a, you know, I just wanted to address that kind of briefly. As far as you hearing this word tonight and then somebody else coming to you saying that women shouldn't be pastors, you know, not, you know, the book of James tells us that we can't be double-minded. You have to hear truth, stick to truth, and in regards to what other people say, this is why I don't teach religion. Because when you deal with religious folk bring all that traditional thinking with them. That's why I teach relationships. When you have a relationship with Christ, then that understanding will start to come. And then you'll know the difference between the truth and the lie. A lot of people will hold to that traditional mindset because that's all they know. That's what they were brought up with, and it's hard to teach that old dog new tricks. I don't care what they say. It's hard to try to break that mindset off of people because that's all they know, and because that's what they were taught growing up, that's what they teach now when they become leaders. Instead of really digging into the word and going back and asking God, what is your original intent for these people? Why can't a woman? See, that's the question that they need to be asking. Why can't a woman preach? Because he can anoint who he wants to anoint. And when you tell me that he can't, when you tell me that a woman can't be a pastor, what you're telling me is that God won't allow a woman to be a pastor. And then that means that God is 1034 out of the Bible. Because now that's partiality. That's being a respecter of persons. If you're only telling me one group can do it and another can't, that's showing favoritism.
Wow.
So, you know, I hope you did. I hope you got a little understanding, man. Reach out to me on Facebook, Pastors, Kevin and Robin Perry. And if you have any other questions, man, feel free to reach out to me. You know, I would definitely guide you as much as I physically possibly can. And questions you have, I don't have a problem answering questions. No question is too hard. If I don't know the answer, hey, man, we'll pray about it together and we'll come to a conclusion. Amen. All right, but listen, I'm going to thank Brother Ricardo for calling in. We're going to go back to the call lines. Caller 2, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor, it's Jerry Petito.
My girl,
first
Jerry.
Of all,
hey,
in my
Jerry,
car. Hi, sweetheart. I'm in my car. I had a family emergency, so keep my family in prayer, please. But I wanted to call in and tell you, first of all, I love Ricardo. He's a personal friend of mine, and I remember praying with him to accept Jesus a few years ago on the phone before we ever even met. I just love him. So lifting him up in prayer as well. Ricardo's awesome. But as far as, like, God playing favoritism, I don't see it that way. I see it as we all have roles. You know, we give birth, and men can't. So God chose a woman, and that's our role. God chose men to do certain roles. I don't question God, you know, so I don't look at it like, oh, why can't, you know, women do this, and why, you know. I just don't. I mean, I just love God so much and accept anything he says because he knows best. And I, you know what I think about all that? I think that, for the most part, women are too emotional at times, and he made us that way, and we're supposed to be. So maybe the man has to be the pastor because he's not as emotional as a woman. Maybe the woman had to give birth because she has those emotions that are going to be needed, where men don't. You know what I'm saying? So I don't really question God, and I don't see anything as favoritism. He loves us all, but we all have our roles based on the way he created us and what he thinks is best. You know, and again, going back to Adam and Eve, that darn woman, right? So, you know,
First of all, Jerry, let me say this. Father, Lord, we just pray for Jerry and her family right now with this situation that she's on her way to. Father, you know all things, and we just pray that your will be done in this situation, that you turn it around as you see fit to turn it around. But it's not about our will, Father. Let your will be done. And we just lift her up, that you give her the spirit of peace and peace of mind in this time right now, that you comfort her and just give her have her mind at ease. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so
amen.
I had to pray
thank
for
you. Thank you.
But now what you're saying, no, so what we're talking about tonight is the fact that, and just in the sense that God doesn't just have favorites. He doesn't pick favorites. Now, yes, you are absolutely right. Everybody has their role, and not everybody is called to do everything. There are certain things that he's designed us physically to do, because like you said, a woman can have a baby, a man can't. But that's something that he
right.
put in the genetic makeup of us. But when we're talking about, you know, leadership qualities, I don't think we can generalize and say that women can't do it because women are emotional, because all women aren't as emotional as you may think. You know, some of them are, some of them not. But then you have some men who are very much in touch with their feelings.
It was just a little bit of an example. I get it. I understand that. Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, you know, from a ministerial point of view, can a woman be a pastor? And that's just a question, you know, because, again, you have a lot of people who think that they're not supposed to. And they use 1 Timothy 2:11 to back that up because of what Paul said. So all I'm saying is, when you look at that verse, you have to look at it in a context of the totality of being under the curse, because the woman was deceived. And then that's what it says. The woman was deceived. Okay. And because of her falling into that deception, that's why she was made to be subservient to the man. That's why she was made to be placed under the man. But now if we're talking about, you know, getting the mindset of people back to God's original intent, can a woman be a pastor? I submit yes. So that's what we're talking about tonight. You know, and so I want to thank Ricardo. I want to thank Jerry for introducing him or reintroducing him back to Christ, you know, because that's so important. But, hey, listen, we're going to continue this conversation when the work is done right after this. We'll be right back.
Thank you. struggles and my troubles. It seems like that I always fear. Now I know he's near.
He is the sweetest thing.
He gives me peace in the midnight hour.
He is the sweetest thing.
When I'm down, he lifts me high.
He is the sweetest thing.
With his love. Fortune don't matter at all.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Heaven
knows. Heaven knows.
He's the one who sees
us.
We're back with The Work Is Done, where we're having what could be a very controversial topic tonight of with can women or should women be pastors? All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Peace and blessings, Pastor Perry.
Peace and blessings to you as well.
How you doing this evening?
I am well. How are you? I know this is something that is dear to you. I know this topic. So let's talk about it tonight.
Yes. You know, it's hard for women when they have been abused by men. It's very hard for women to trust men. You know, one thing that I do remember in the Bible, that it says that the woman is a helpmate.
Mm, yeah.
And I looked up the word helpmate. It
well, actually
says
it says
that,
helpmeet, M-E-E-T, not meat,
yes,
but meat.
Meet. Well, when I looked up help, when you say help meet, that means that that person is a helper to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the woman's role is to help that man. This is the way I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
And if that man loves God, he should treat his woman the same way he loves himself and God.
Okay.
Okay. But I do want to also say that in Acts 2:17, it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith the Creator, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
All flesh.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. And
your old men shall dream dreams.
And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And I had it written down properly, but
I'll help you because then he says, and on my maid servants and on my men servants, I will pour out my spirit.
Yes. So, you know, we have men today that think that the Creator cannot bless a woman to teach. And a lot of men in our community, they do not want a woman to speak. They think that God is the only, that the Creator speaks to them only. And I believe that at this time and place, if your spirit and your soul is not right, do you think the Most High will use you? He's going to use whoever he wants to use. It could be a woman. It could be a child. It could be a man. It
could be a donkey because he spoke through the donkey.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You know, and, you know, I went through a lot of things in me talking, and I got harassed by men. I got, you know, disrespected by men because I was teaching. And that was the most hurtfulest thing that I have felt from my own people, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it hurt me so bad. You know, a lot of times you say, you know, when people do things, it causes trauma to a person, and it hurts their hearts. And it hurt me so bad, Pastor, that I didn't even want to speak no more. You know, because I know the Creator gave me my gift. And that I was supposed to use my gift to the best of my ability. All I wanted to do was help people. And, Pastor, I felt like I was hated and tormented for it. And it just hurt me so bad, Pastor.
And I apologize for that. And what it is, it's just such a lack of, it's a couple of things. Number one, it's a lack of understanding, but it's also an egotistical thing that men have when they reach that level of ministry, because they feel this entitlement that they don't want anybody, male or female, to come along and take what they think that God gave them. And it's almost like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, it's that kind of mentality. Because here, these were people who were supposed to know Jesus when he showed up, because they were the ones who studied the law. But here he was right in their presence, and they didn't even know who he was. And
exactly.
It's the same mentality that some of these men have, some of these churches have, when it comes to raising up women or deciding on their part whether women should be called or not. Who are you to say who God can use? God did not give you that authority to do that.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says he raises up, he sits down. That's what God does that. Now, he can use women to do it. And see, and here's the other part of that, because people don't understand that the methodology that God can use to get his work done can change.
Yes.
So if they're still holding on to what Paul told Timothy thousands of years ago, don't you think that the method that God was using back then can change?
That's right.
Through the Bible. It's all through the Bible.
Yes.
At one point, they were sacrificing birds and bulls and goats. We don't have to sacrifice that anymore. Jesus says, I've come to be the sacrifice.
That's right.
So there are things Jesus told the people. He said, you have heard it to be said, an eye for an eye. He said, but I come to give you a better way. Love your neighbor instead of hating them. The methodology changed. We don't do eye for an eye, tooth for tooth anymore. So why are people still holding to old traditional thinking?
Yes.
It still baffles my mind.
Yes, and I'm thankful. Yeah, I told you, you're my favorite pastor, you know, because sometimes people don't know the pain that they cause another person. And when they have in their heart to do the will of the Creator, and that's all they're seeking to do, and you tear them down from what they're supposed to be doing on this plane of existence. But I just know you made me, my spirit relax. And I just want to thank you for just being who you are. And
amen. Thank you so much.
I respect you a great deal, Pastor. I really do. I respect you a great deal. And I'm glad you brought this subject up, because it strengthens me. Okay?
You inspired it. You inspired it. I told you I was going to talk on it.
Yes. All right.
For those that don't know that are listening, this is Sister Bessie, the truther. So she's a strong, anointed woman. She also has a show here on ONE. Call in and support her show as well. But go ahead, I'm going to let you finish your last statement.
Okay, I just want to thank you for all that you do, and say a prayer for me. To keep, so I can be strong like you.
Amen. Well, Sister Bessie, God, I thank you for Sister Bessie tonight. And I just pray that she just remains encouraged. She remains strengthened by your power. And I pray right now, Father, I just speak into her life that she'll never let anyone silence her voice again, because you have given her your voice. It's not her voice. You have given her your voice. And never let her feel ashamed. Never let her feel defeated. Never let her think that she's not good enough to deliver the word that you've given her. She's an encourager. She's a strengthener. She's a warrior in your army. And I just thank you for her. I thank you for her everlasting and enduring strength, that you continue to sustain her. And we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, this is The Work Is Done, and we'll be right back after this.
Put your hands together. Come on. Put your hands together. Come on.
Close to you.
Make some noise in here.
Can I get close?
talking about tonight here on The Work Is Done. Call in tonight, 516-453-9133. See if you have an answer to that question. See if you have an opinion. Can a woman be a pastor? Before we went on break, we were on the line with Sister Bessie, and you know, she was bringing up the fact, she brought up the fact that, you know, the Bible says that when God created Eve, he created her to be a helpmeet for Adam, a helper, someone to help him. Now, you know, my wife and I have been married for 32 years. And what I've learned in 32 years is that there are some areas in my life where I am weak, but my wife is strong in those areas, and vice versa. The areas that she's weak and I'm strong, that's what makes us a perfect. So she's a helpmeet to me, but I'm also a helpmeet to her. Now, some of you may take offense to that because it doesn't say that the man was created to be the helpmeet for the woman. So let me just say how my wife helps me. You know, my wife is also a pastor. So, you know, and when we had our church back in Philadelphia, there were times where, man, you know, I was working sometimes, and I would have to get off work and still have to come set up church and do all that stuff. Sometimes I was just tired. But my wife, who is an anointed woman of God, she could help me out by preaching that service, where I didn't have to do it. So was she being a helpmeet to me? Yes. Is that scriptural? Yes. Now, here's where a lot of people still hold to this point when we're talking about women pastors, because they say there are no women pastors mentioned in the Bible. So because there are no women pastors mentioned in the Bible, therefore they hold to the fact that women shouldn't be pastors. But I submit that, you know, we have to realize and recognize that how long ago was the Bible written? But at the same time, things aren't the same as they were. We are not in the same time frame as when the Bible was written. So again, just like I said before we went on break, there were certain things that are written in the Bible that has changed because the time changed. Again, the Israelites came out. When you read the law that was given to them, there, for certain sins, you have to sacrifice this amount of goats, this amount of bulls, this amount of turtle doves, this amount of pigeons if you didn't have it. So that was the requirement. That was your sin offering, okay? And then he went on to give them this instruction. You know, if it was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a death for a death. But we don't still live in those times. Those times have changed. So God's method for dealing with sin issue changed because we no longer required the blood of bulls and goats, because Jesus became the official once and for all sacrifice for sin. So the blood of animals was no longer required. But yet, still under the law of Moses, it was an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's why Jesus had to have that conversation. He says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He says, but here's what I'm telling you now. I'm changing. The method is changing right before your eyes. It is changing. No longer are we going to say eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, death for death. I'm going to tell you to love your enemy. Love your, and love them with compassion. So does the methodology change over time? Does it change because of circumstances? Does it change because of where we are in this time frame, this dispensation that we're in? Or are we still submitting ourselves to what was done? And if you're still trying to hold on to what was done, then you are still living in the past. And God is always moving forward. And it's us trying to keep up with him. He's not trying to keep up with us. We're trying to keep up with him. And that's why I'm so glad that she brought up Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 17, that says, in the last days, saith the Lord, not saith Paul, not saith Peter, not saith Timothy, but he says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So if he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh, on his sons and his daughters and on his maidservants and men servants, who's left out of that? Nobody's left out of that. If he says there's no respect of persons, nobody's left out of that. So where does this traditional mindset come from? It's because people refuse to let go of what they've been taught and grab hold of this word and read it for what it is. You can't hold on to something just because it sounded good to you. You can't hold on to something just because it makes you exclusive while excluding everybody else. That's not God's purpose and intent. That's your purpose and intent, because you want to treat people and categorize them according to substance and wealth and education and all that other stuff. That's people wanting to do that. That's not God's intent. All right? Hey, listen. Y'all get ready. You got to call in. The show's almost over. And we'll be back after this message.
One thing I don't ever want to forget in life, and that is the day that the Lord saved me. I'm reminded of the story that I once heard about the potter who saw a vessel that had been broken from the wind and the rain. And being a dedicated potter, he sought to put it back together again. And that's the way my life was one day. It was broken into many pieces. But one Tuesday morning, Jesus picked up the pieces and put them all back together again and made me a new creature. And that's the way the Lord brought me to the light. And I'd like to pass the story on to you tonight. If my rhyme runs back to that day. The story goes like this. The potter. Saw a vessel that had been broken from the wind and the rain. But he thought with so much compassion. Back together again. But I was that broken vessel. Oh my Lord, that no one was any good. But I prayed that morning. I said, Lord, you are the potter, and I am the clay. Make me over again today. What the Lord did one day. Jesus picked up the pieces. Oh, yes it is. Of my broken heart. My broken heart. That day. This is what the Lord did for me. Oh, yeah. For the choir to tell you about. One day, Jesus picked up the pieces. Thank you.
All right, all right. Well, we want to thank everybody for taking the opportunity to listen tonight. You know, it's always, you know, my endeavor to bring truth of God's word. Sometimes it's not always a popular opinion. Sometimes it's not always easy to change how you thought over the years because of teaching and training and things that have taken place and how you were brought up and raised in church and ministry to believe one thing, and now you're hearing something that may be contrary to that. Sometimes that's kind of a hard pill to swallow, but it's something that needs to be swallowed. You know, you know me. I'm not going to sugarcoat. I'm not going to, you know, water down the word. I'm not going to, you know, try to appease people's feelings and, you know, how they think. You know, that's not me. I have to teach you to know the truth. You know, that's what the Bible says. He says you will know the truth. But who guides you? The Holy Spirit is the one who guides and leads you. So when you hear this, you know, it's going to do one of two things. Either it's going to resonate in your spirit, and you're going to be like, wow, you know, eye-opener, light bulb moment. Or you're just going to hold to what you've been taught, and you're just going to say, that guy's crazy. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't agree with him at all. That's your choice. That's one of the things that, you know, here at ONE, we bring you people who have various platforms, and it's up to you to pick and choose who you want to listen to and what you want to believe. You do that every day of your life. You make choices and you make decisions. But this time, I just need you to give it a chance. Just like consider it. Wow, I never thought of it that way. Now let me pursue what I've heard tonight. All right? Hey, thanks for listening. Let's bring on the man that makes everything possible.
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to Sister Bessie. He picked up the pieces of my broken heart that day, and he made me a new vessel and revived my soul again. A lot of people didn't understand why I gave my heart back to the Lord. That song right there is the reason why. He picked up my broken heart. A lot of times in this network, dealing with people, it can break your heart. But he made me a new vessel and revived my soul again. We thank you for this broadcasting week. Next week, of course, with Chinchilla J and News Forum right here on these ONE stations. Remember, we have something that is sacred on our network, and it's called What a Mighty God We Serve, to have our fourth annual ONE Honors presented by Progressive Insurance and Looking Glass Entertainment. December 7th of 2021, where we will honor Sister Bessie Truther as a nominee for the Hall of Fame. We'll honor Jerry Petito with the highest honor of the Hall of Fame, Lifetime Achiever. We will honor Chinchilla Jonesia as the Lady and New Host of the Year, the Sony Griffin Award. And we will honor Ricky R. Jones with the first annual Commissioner's Award presented by Ebony Dawn Starks. And then the highlight of our evening, who will win the Anna Wardell Award for Excellence, the ONE Host of the Year, presented by Edward Burks, Griffin Wardell, the son of the perpetuate, Anna Wardell. May she rest in peace. And at this time, we're going to take a time to have a silent moment for Anna Wardell. Family Nation's advertising ONE, which is Ola Belly and Ghost Enterprise, reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime Time on that, that.com. We're in Ghosty Time both for Twitter and Instagram. All of that link goes to your Periscope Plus. All of that link really goes to your Facebook, as well as our business page, The Work Is Done. As well as the historic Denver Nation Online Radio established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ole Dele, that link goes from mine@gmail.com. And I am the 2021 International Internet Radio producer, Ms. Ronnie. The 2019 International Internet Radio disc jockey, Ms. Ronnie. But most importantly, your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dele Malay Rangozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now, the invitation to discipleship by the Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry.
Hey, listen, you guys, I keep saying it. You know me. I'm not about tradition. I'm not about religion. I'm about relationship. You have to establish a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of John, he said, Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. So anything that you're trying to do that doesn't include him, your work is in vain. So let's not work in vain. Let's invite him in to our hearts. And you simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. It's just that simple. Now you have to do what it takes to build relationships. Communication, prayer. Talk to your Father. He wants to hear from you. And wait for him to talk back. Don't let it be a dialogue. Or don't let it be a monologue. Let it be a dialogue where you're not just asking for stuff, but you're asking him, what can you do for him? Amen. This is Pastor Kev, host of The Work Is Done. I'll be back, y'all, in 4 weeks. See you then. God bless. Be safe.